Welcome back to another episode of On Life and Being Human. I'm your host, Catherine Colleen, and this is the podcast where we help you create a better life through complete connection to yourself, to others, to the world around you, to your money, to the divine, to love, to everything. And it is so worth it. Thanks for joining me today. We're going to be talking about a couple of audience questions. One of them is how to maintain your connection to the divine. Whether you call it God, Allah, whatever. And the second question is, if the divine is a ubiquitous energy, then aren't all religions wrong? And these are a couple of very, very interesting and related questions. So I'm going to put them both together in this podcast today. Let's discuss both. Quick shout out before we get started to new listeners in Dallas, Texas. Love Texas. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for this connection. I'm so glad to have you here. If you have thoughts and questions and ideas, you can use the link in the show notes. That will take you, just scroll down there, click the link. That'll take you over to the community page, also called the Connect page, at CatherineColleen.com. A little form there, fill it out, let me know. That comes directly to me. You'll hear back directly from me. And yes, I will anonymize and use it to help others, because if you have a question, I guarantee millions of other people have the same question. And you'll be helping a lot of people as well as yourself. So let me know. Let me know what's on your mind. Let me know how I can help. So first question today is, how do you maintain your connection to the divine? And this is a great question. So as you work through the stages, you gain this deeper and deeper connection to the divine, to God, to Allah, to the Tao, to whatever you want to call it. And it feels so wonderful that you really want to maintain it. And for really good reason. But if you ignore all the other pieces of connection that got you there, then your connection to the divine will quickly fall apart, and you'll find yourself thrown back into earlier stages. So people are always surprised when they ask me, how do you maintain your connection to the divine? And I say, well, you know, I make sure to get enough sleep. They go, what? I make sure I'm eating well. I make sure I'm getting exercise. I make sure that I'm feeding my mind. What? So the irony is, to maintain my connection to the divine, I must start by maintaining my connection to my experiences, stage two, to my body and my mind and my needs, stage three, to others, stage four, to my ideology, stage five. I must maintain my question, my connection to questioning everything, stage seven. I must maintain my connection to purpose, stage eight, and then to the divine. So what that look, because the problem is all of these other connections to experiences and to body and to self and to others and to ideology and to purpose and to questioning. These are the foundation, right? Think of Maslow's hierarchy of needs. You've got to have that foundation to get to the self-actualization up top. If the foundation crumbles, the whole thing crumbles. So you've got to maintain the basics in order to maintain the connection to the divine. So I employ daily habits and daily routines that help to shore up that complete connection. And then the divine connection flows naturally from that space. And that's how I do it. So connection to the divine is a natural state. It's not something I'm forcing. It's already there. It's something I'm allowing and removing the obstacles to. I simply remove the barriers and maintain that open space to allow it. And that looks like everything from getting enough sleep to getting exercise to nutrition to sex to helping others to meditation to Reiki to all the daily habits that keep me in those later stages and that allow that divine connection to flourish. And I am so thankful for each and every beautiful connection that leads to that space. When you get to the later stages, when you're working in stage 8, 9, 10, 11, when you're operating in those stages each day, it can be so consuming and amazing that it's easy to forget that you still have human needs. Your body needs sleep. It needs the right food. You still need connection to others. All these things, all these other connections are still relevant. You've got to maintain it. So the further into the stages you get, in irony or in perfect balance, I'm not sure which, maybe both, the more important it becomes to maintain all those foundations of the earlier stages. And that's one of the ways that you stay in these later stages longer. And so that's the key. You're building a set of daily practices to keep you there. And that's why one of the exercises in the later stages is all about maintaining it. It's all about daily practices that you can build in. So go back and read about that. And think about what you can do in your daily routine to help keep that space open for the divine connection and to nurture it. Because you've already got the tools. It's just a matter of building it into a daily routine. And that's how I maintain connection to the divine. And I get a lot of really awesome questions about the divine. And so this is another one that I love. If the divine is a ubiquitous energy, then aren't all religions wrong? And I love this question. Ask me a question, I'll tell you what stage you're in. This is an end of stage 7, beginning of stage 8 question. And it's where you're recognizing that the divine, that God is a ubiquitous energy, formless, pervasive existence. But you're just coming out of questioning everything. You're questioning all religions, which is great. This is a really important stage. Stage 7. Everybody hates it and avoids it, but it's so freaking important. When we first start to question everything, we just reject it all. It's all wrong. Screw all y'all. It's all wrong. Everything is wrong. All your ideologies are wrong. All your religions are wrong. All your social norms are wrong. It's all wrong. Throw it all out and start with a blank slate. And I love to question everything. Because once you've been around this cycle a few times, stage 7 becomes fun. I promise. If you're going through it for the first time, it actually turns fun the 3rd, 4th, 5th, 6th, 7th, 15th time you've been through it. But when you get towards the end of that and you start to actually consolidate, if you look at the map of the stages, there's 4 quadrants, and you're coming around to where you're actually going to start to integrate everything into one. So this is a fantastic question. We move through a stage 7 of questioning everything, including religion, and we emerge on the other side with a deeper understanding of the divine as ubiquitous. And we understand that the divine is in us and around us and through us and is us. And this can make you think that all the world religions are wrong because many of them anthropomorphize the divine into a distinct character with exceptional powers. But I disagree. I would say that every religion is right. They are all correct in the basic principles. Look at what's the same across all of them. Because in the basics, they're all saying the same thing. They all speak of the divine as ubiquitous, existing everywhere, all the time from the beginning. They speak of how the divine is in us and we are children of the divine. They speak of how our thoughts and intentions are important and how connection to others is important. And if you look past the historical context of the human authors and you look right into the heart of the divine message that they are all channeling through, that they're all saying the same thing. They're all the same universal truths. And when I say they, I'm talking about the texts that come with each religion. The Bible, the Torah, the Quran, the Tao Te Ching, the Dhammapada, etc. I don't mean to leave anybody out, but that's a long enough list, but you know them all. Take any and all religious texts. And they're all the same universal truths told through the lens of the human beings who wrote it all down in the historical times that they lived in, filtered by emotions and just trying to make sense of life. And they're all right on target. So you need to recognize that text for what it is. You say, it's the Word of God. Hell yeah, it is. It's the Word of God filtered through the human being who was charged with writing it down. And that filter produced historical context and emotion and all the things that come with the human subconscious and neocortex and so on that get added in with it. And when you strip that part away and you get down to the pure channeled truth, they're all the same. They're all right. And they're all perfectly on target. And for me, that's incredibly meaningful. When you find something that all religions agree on, or when you find something that all humanity finds true, then you're really onto something. And if you can find something that religion and sociology and psychology and divine truths and art and science all agree on, wow. That's the ultimate Venn diagram. That's the ultimate in truth. And that's what I like to look for, and that's what I like to write about. And so that's why I say that all religions are right. They're all right. Strip away all the historic context and the human stuff that got put in there as it passed through the filter of the writer's humanity. And what you will see is the same truth across every single book, every single one. And so that's what I would say. I would say they're all correct. And when you start to put that together is when you're merging from stage 8 to stage 9. When you start to kind of put this all together, you see the truth, right? You're really deeply in stage 8 when you start to see the truth across all of them. Don't force it. Go back and read the books again. Really, read it. I'm always shocked how many people claim to be a certain religion, but they haven't read the book. If you haven't read it or you haven't read it in a while, religious texts are really awesome because when you read that text when you're in stage 3 versus when you read that text and you're in stage 8, it's an entirely different read. So if you haven't read your religious text of choice in a while, I recommend you go back and actually read it. And I apologize for those for whose religious text is the Bible or the Quran, because those are tough reads. Tough. They're really long. They're a really hard read. It's like walking through molasses. But give it a go. Trudge through it. Get through it. Give it another read. And read it from front to back with fresh eyes. And see it. Right? Work through seeing what is the human filter and what is the actual divine word. What is the actual truth? And then go out and grab the religious texts that aren't yours and read them too, and you'll see what I'm talking about. And as you do this, though, you have a little bit of a danger of getting caught up in your ideology, which is stage 5, and getting sucked back into that and defending your ideology as you read other people's religious texts. So make sure that you maintain your objectivity, approach it in a anthropological type of way, and say, isn't this fascinating? What is the truth here that's the same as the truth that's in my text? Take a step back from it to make sure you don't get sucked into your ideology too much. Woo, all right, so that's quite a lot of homework. So just, you know, do it all the time, sure. what a taskmaster, huh? Sorry. But it's good for you. So give it a go. So what have we learned today? Number one, you've got to maintain the basics. You've got to maintain the needs of your body and your mind in order to have this connection to the divine flourish. You've got to keep that space open. You've got to attend to the basics. So take a look at your daily routine and see what you need to do to make sure all of your physical and mental needs are met so that you can have this open spiritual connection. And secondly, go back and read your religious text and then everybody else's with fresh eyes, but at a minimum, your own. All right. And then let me know how it goes. Send me a note. Use the link in the show notes. That'll take you over to the Connect page, the community page at KatherineColleen.com, where you can send me your thoughts and your questions and your ideas. Let me know how it's going for you. Let me know what kind of routines you're setting up that work for you. If they work for you, I'll bet they'll work for a lot of other people. Let me know what questions you have, because if you have a question, there's a lot of other people around the world that have the same exact question, believe it or not. You are not alone. Thanks for joining me this time. As always, I'm wishing you Karna Asati, complete connection.